Luke's account of the shepherds and the angels. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them, back into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them. Thanks be to God.
Reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 15. Visitors from the East. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the East to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were, what joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. After they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, "Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to leave." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. This was done to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true: "I called my son out of Egypt." Amen.
Thank you. is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The Lord became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. nice to see the church. Let me put the microphone on. It's good to see the church all decorated, isn't it? And, you know, at Christmas time, there's lots of things that suddenly come out that we don't see the rest of the year, do we? You know, in church today, we've got the Christmas tree, we've got the Advent candles, we've got various nativity scenes, actually, around the church as well. We've got a tree over there with some baubles and things on it as well. We've got lights and lamps and all sorts of things as well. And it's nice, isn't it, that we've got lots of different different traditions that come out at Christmas. Now, some of these things remind us more or tell us more about the Christmas story than others things do. You know, we've got a star, for example, on the top of a Christmas tree, which reminds us of the star that the wise men followed. And obviously, we have the representation, don't we, of the birth of Jesus in the different nativity scenes and things. And we can see the lights around us that remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. Now, of course, one of the other Christmas traditions that we have, and we're all going to be partaking of that in a few moments of time, is the mince pie. Now, some people either love mince pies or they hate them, don't they? And I've pinched this one actually out of the back room, actually. So as I'm fingering it, I will eat it after we've finished today. And mince pies, actually, I don't know whether you know this, have been around for quite a long time. And right since Tudor times as well, the mince pie originated in England. But in Tudor times, a lot of people know this, that mince pies were actually rectangular in shape, like this. And they were, so they were like a manger, shaped like a manger. And they had a little bit of pastry then to look like a baby on the top of it. So people were able to, they ate their mince pies. And of course, mince pies in those days weren't all just sweet mince pies. They had savoury things in them as well. I think the original Tudor mince pies, they had about 13 different ingredients in, which was supposed to represent Jesus and his 12 disciples, and also have various herbs, spices and things in as well to remind them of some of the things that the wise men brought Jesus as well. Now, I must admit, I do like mince pies, and I've been eating quite a lot, actually, lately, and every week my grandson and my daughter come round to our house, and I try and give them a different mince pie every week, and we have a bit of a competition to try and work out which is the best mince pie that there is. And you know, we try and guess where I bought it from this particular week. I saw a survey recently, and did you know that Aldi apparently have got the best record for came number one in the mince pie thing, actually, believe it or not. So you all better rush down to Aldi tomorrow and buy some of Aldi's mince pies. Now, of course, the thing about mince pies is they're no good. You never find out how really good that they taste unless you actually eat one, do you? That's the only way that you find out. Now, I would recommend eating this one shaped like a manger, because it's made of clay. You'd probably break your teeth on it. I must admit, I'm not much of a cook, actually, so I didn't really have a go. But you could actually have a go at making these with pastry and other ingredients and things inside. Of course, the Bible says, doesn't it, in one of the Psalms, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And you know, at Christmas time, God provides us with lots of things that are good to eat, doesn't he? And things that are nice to enjoy. And we need to give thanks, I think, in this Christmas season to the things that God does provide. But of course, the most important thing that God wants us to taste and to enjoy, to participate in, is the birth of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's quite amazing, isn't it, really, that God sent Jesus to earth as a baby, to be born in just a humble manger. And, you know, he grew up, didn't he, and became the saviour of the world. But, you know, but really to understand, you know, what all of that means, you know, we really need to take on board Jesus, the greatest gift that God has ever given the world. You know, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. So whilst you're enjoying your mince pies and all the other food and things that we have at Christmas, just remember the baby in the manger, the gift that God sent for you and for me, that he wants us to enjoy it, to take of it, to believe in it, because it will make all of a difference. You know, the world desperately needs somebody, don't they, to save us from some of the awful and terrible things that are going on in our world at the moment. And God sent Jesus. And we just pray that we might just take Jesus to our hearts and taste and enjoy him this Christmas. Amen. We're going to ask Nick now to come and to lead us in our prayers.
So let us pray. In this season of Advent, we remember the themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. So we pray, Lord, for those who need hope. We pray for those who find this season very dark and worry about the future. We pray for those who look at the turn of the year with trepidation, for those known to us, for those perhaps we see on our screens. At the moment, we pray particularly for the people of Syria, who have been given new hope. Yet many commentators worry if this will be fragile. So, Lord, we pray that their hope will not be dashed, that the words of the revolutionaries about wanting peace and rights, respect for minorities will prove true, that Syria would become a beacon of hope in that particularly troubled part of the world, and that you would give wisdom to the whole international community as they find their way to react to this new situation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for peace, thinking particularly of the conflict between Israel and the nations around it, for the plight of the Palestinians, for the war in the Ukraine, and the sometimes neglected conflict in the Sudan. And Lord, for other places that maybe the news doesn't find interesting at the moment, we pray for peace. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for joy, for those whose circumstances make them sad, for those struggling with the effects of mental illness, the cost of living crisis, family sadness, for those who've lost loved ones this past year, for whom Christmas will be a particularly poignant and painful occasion. Lord, you give us joy that surpasses our circumstances, that helps us bear the pain and sorrow. So we pray for those who need your joy at this Christmas time. We pray that the message of the Christ child, the hope that he gives for a life that transcends all that we experience here, that is eternal in quality as well as longevity, that they may catch a glimpse this Christmas of that joy available to them, that they would find the Saviour who says, "Cast all your burdens upon me, for I care for you." Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, we pray for those who will show love this Christmas time, giving up their own time, maybe their own Christmas day, to care for those in need. We think particularly for our food banks at this crisis time for many families. We think particularly of the Kettering shelter that's going to be open 24 hours a day over the Christmas period. We pray for those opening their homes to invite others in to share their Christmas feast. We pray for our street pastors who go out whilst people drink and are careless and who look after them. We pray, Lord, for our emergency services, for whom there is no bank holiday. Lord, for all these people who demonstrate aspects of your love, we pray you would give them your strength. You would give them resources when they feel at the end of their tether, that you would give them that ability and that patience to go the extra mile, even with those who are least lovely and most trying. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we pray that this Christmas time, as we sing familiar songs, listen to old readings, as we go through the traditions like we do every year, we pray that you would give us a fresh vision of the hope, peace, joy, and love that you want to bring into our lives, that we too, like the Christ child, may be prepared to take up our cross and follow the way of Christ. We gather all these prayers in the prayer that Jesus himself gave his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Before we say our final blessing together, can I just remind you, do please stop and have a cup of tea or coffee and a mince pie. And I think there are other things as well as mince pies there as well to enjoy. But if you'd like to go out through the left-hand door, that would be great. We thought we'd have a blessing that we could all say together this afternoon. So if you'd like to join and say the words on the screen. May the joy of the angels...